Hello everyone, my name is Mr. Johnson, Head Teacher of Information Technology, and I'm thrilled to be here with you for episode 2 of Tumby Talks, our official podcast for Tuggerah Lake Secondary College, Tumbiumby Campus. And if you're tuning in for the very first time, welcome. And if you're a returning listener, thank you for coming back. It's great to have you with us. Today's episode is another special one for us, as we've got some truly remarkable stories and updates to share with you. But before we get to all of that, I want to take in a moment to express my sincere gratitude to everyone who has liked and subscribed and supported Tumby Talks. The response to our very first episode was incredible, and the positive feedback we've received has been both humbling and inspiring. It's clear that we have an amazing community of listeners both near and far, and we are grateful for the time you take to tune into us. Your support motivates us to keep growing and improving, so thank you very much. As always, we like to start our podcast by hearing from a very special guest, our proud campus principal, Miss Bate. She'll be sharing her highlights from the past week as well as giving us an insight into what's coming up. So without further ado, welcome, Miss Bate.
Thanks, Mr. Johnson. It's nice to be here this morning. It's Monday, and I just want to share with you something that always lights my heart up. I am an animal lover, and we have a beautiful therapy dog in our school called Sapphire. Sapphire's beautiful. Sapphire works on a Monday, a Wednesday, and a Friday. And just like some of us, I can see Sapphire on a Monday morning has a bit of Monday-itis. She's a bit slower to get involved. But by the end of the day, she's really enjoying the young people and enjoying the people that she knows. So I just walked past Sapphire this morning and gave her a little hello. And she felt like she had Monday-itis, but I know she'll warm up throughout the day. Something else that's exciting for this afternoon at about 5:30, we'll have an invitation to all our Year 7 parents and students to come along. They've been here with us now for 6 full weeks, and it's just an opportunity for the parents to come in and carers to put a face to the name of the people that they've heard from, to cite me and the executive staff, to hear what our school's about, and then to have a barbecue, a get-together. Very informal, but it will be a fun evening, and we really like meeting our parents and having that opportunity for them to see our beautiful campus. I guess the next big item that will occupy our thoughts for the next week or so, 2 weeks, will be NAPLAN. And NAPLAN begins on Wednesday, when our Year 7 and our Year 9 students will all sit the writing test. This is the only external test that our campus does. So we rely on the information that it supplies to us. We know it's just one test in time, but it does give us a wealth of knowledge about where our students are at, how we can support them, and also how we're doing as a school and a cohort. So we've had a meeting with Year 7 this morning just to reassure them what the process looks like and that we take this NAPLAN exam very seriously. So that will take place, and if someone's away, then we'll do catch up to help them so we get a full picture of what our cohort looks like. That pretty much wraps up my highlight for the week that's upon us. On Friday, though, I'd like to do a shout out because our SLC, our Student Leadership Council, will be heading off to a Sydney Youth Leadership Conference. So that's exciting for them. They'll leave and come back by train. And thanks, Mr. Gauchi, for leading that great initiative.
That'll be a great experience for our Student Leadership Council because they've really hit the ground running this year with all of the programs and their input so far with their new team here.
Yeah, it's great. And we love to hear back from them, what they like about what we're doing and some ways that we can improve. Then heading into week 8, which is next week, a reminder that Year 10 have immunisations. These are not compulsory, but we're really helping out families in the community to say that other than going to a GP, you can actually get immunisations here. We don't do that.
No.
We get the Department
Teachers,
of Health.
Not doctors.
That's right. So just letting you know, that's the immunisation. And on Friday of next week is Harmony Day, so I always look forward to that event and what sort of surprises come our way that the students actually nominate and put forward.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Miss Bay, for coming on for episode 2. It's always a pleasure to have you here, and I hope the rest of your couple of weeks goes great, and we'll talk to you on episode 3.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, welcome back. We are on episode 2, 2025 of Tumby Talks, and I'd like to welcome Miss Carpenter Salmon, our careers advisor, in for this episode, and she's going to let us know what is coming up in the world of careers at Tumbiama campus. Hi, Miss, how are you?
Hi, Mr. Johnson, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me back on this year.
No worries at all.
So, yes, I wanted to come and jump on and say hello to everybody out there, parents and students in our community, because we've had such a massive start to the year in the careers world, in the careers space at Tumbiama campus, and that's going to continue through the year. So I just wanted to highlight a few of the initiatives that we've got going on in careers at the moment. The really big thing we've been dealing with lately has been finalising our Year 10 portfolio interviews and surveys. So each student who's in Year 10 this year has had the chance to sit with me and have a chat about careers and then complete an online survey about where they plan to be in the next couple of years. And it's been so interesting to see what everybody has noted for their goals. We've got about 220 students who have completed forms, and we've got 220 very interesting, very unique pathways. So the survey or the form that the students have completed with me will be printed out and placed in a brand new careers portfolio for each student in Year 10. Those portfolios will be given out to the students in Week 9 in the upcoming check-in assembly with Miss Casey and myself. And the portfolio is a really, really great opportunity for the students to start collecting all of those documents that show how amazing they are at school and in the outside world. So we're encouraging Year 10 to start thinking about, you know, keeping a collection of their certificates, their school reports, standing taller, you know, excellent ROSA tasks that they're doing in class. And those portfolios are going to be used later in the year when we start our transition process for 2026 and beyond. So I really look forward to meeting with the grade in Week 9 and handing out the portfolios to the students.
And the portfolio, Miss, could be really beneficial to a student that's going for a casual job too, couldn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, as an employer, I would expect a student to come to me, you know, with a wonderful resume, but also evidence of all of the skills and strengths that they have too. So certainly those portfolios can be used in the next few years even.
I know if I was an employer and I had two students to pick from and I had one that had a complete portfolio and then someone that just had a piece of paper, I know who I'd be choosing.
Absolutely, that's the plan. So any Year 10 student who hasn't had that opportunity to meet with me yet, I'll be catching up with them in the next couple of weeks just to finalise all of those forms. So yeah, very exciting, and I really commend the students on how they approached this task. Yeah, it was fantastic to meet with them all. They're really growing up. So moving on from the portfolios, the really big thing that's coming up in term two will be our TAFE Start Your Future courses. We're an EPP school on the coast, and what that means is we're part of the Educational Pathways Program. An EPP school has access to these incredible taster courses at TAFE. So students who are interested in a whole range of industries but haven't been able to get exposure to that industry, or perhaps they haven't been able to set up work experience, but they think that they really want to move into this particular industry in the future, well, they can sign up, or they can do an expression of interest to participate in these Start Your Future courses at TAFE next term.
Miss, what are some of the most popular courses that a lot of our students have picked previously?
Well, in the past, childcare has been always very popular, along with things like beauty, automotive, and animal care. Now, I've actually just had a look at the list of courses released for next term, and I'm a little bit excited because there are new Start Your Future courses running next term in areas like electrotechnology. There's real estate that is running.
Real estate,
very, very popular.
Yeah, okay.
Very popular, yes. There's a carpentry Start Your Future course running next term.
Oh, that's going to be very popular.
Absolutely. And look, I can tell you from doing these careers surveys with the Year 10 students, the primary industry that students would like to go into are trades, with carpentry and electrical being the most popular amongst our Year 10 cohort. So any students who are interested in carpentry and electrical and who'd like to give it a go, they're encouraged to come and see me on Monday of next week when the expressions of interest can be submitted, and I can talk through the application process with the students. So any other students who would like to do courses in, say, beauty, engineering, healthcare, cookery, even dental assisting. So there's a whole range going on next term. Of course, I'll put all of this information up on the Year 10 Careers Canvas page, and students are more than welcome to come and find me if they'd like to chat about the programs. So we, as a school, we can offer about, you know, 2, 3, or 4 places in each course, just depending on demand from the other schools each term. And I just think it's a fantastic opportunity for students who are really struggling to get some work experience.
So if that's your thing, you need to get in quick if there's only 3 or 4 spots.
Absolutely.
At maximum.
And Mr. Johnson, that's actually a pretty good segue into the world of work experience, which I just wanted to cover with everybody being the start of a new year. So I've had lots of students who are really keen and excited to get out and try different jobs this year. So just to let everyone know how we run it at Tumbiumbi campus. So work experience is not mandatory at our school. It's a, you know, an opt-in kind of program. But I have to say it's very popular. Last year I had 80 students head out on work experience, which is incredible. So any student who has had their 14th birthday can head out on work experience. So you don't have to be in year 10, you could be in year 8, 9 or 10, just as long as you're 14 years old. And I want the students to identify a business that would really be beneficial to them. So I do ask that our students make contact with the business. I think it's really important that they can connect with employers and have those workplace conversations.
The personal touch.
Absolutely. And look, the list of work experience opportunities is endless. So students can really work in trades, they could work in retail, childcare, hairdressing, really anything you can think of, except for a couple of exceptions, but I've not yet had students ask about those.
No bridge climb?
No bridge climb, no scuba diving, we're not riding horses. But essentially, most work experience can be approved. And at Tumbi, I really like the flexibility of our program in that students and the business can decide on, you know, how many days suit them, you know, is a block the best use of time? You know, can a student go out for a week or 2 weeks and really get a taste for what life is like in that job? Or, you know, is it more beneficial that they turn up, you know, every, say, every Thursday for an entire term and keep going? So we're very flexible. We want to support families and businesses who want to participate in the work experience program. So we make it as easy as possible for them. So students who have made a connection and do have that yes from a business, yes, we'll take you on for work experience, they just need to come and see me, and I'll talk them through the paperwork process that needs to be done. And once that's completed, they're welcome to go out. So it's such a valuable experience. Work experience has been the start of many offers in the past for apprenticeships and full-time work.
Even casual work.
Even casual work. And yeah, so it's really, really valuable. Certainly a lot of students have come back and said, you know what, I've decided that job is not for me.
Yeah, that was me personally.
Yeah, what did you do?
Yeah, I wanted to be a surveyor.
Okay.
So then I was good at mathematics and I went to surveying, and then after that week I knew that I did not want to be a surveyor.
Fair enough.
So yeah, it was excellent in ruling out something that I may have gone into and spent a lot of university funds on.
So it served its purpose.
It did. It did.
Yes, very much so. So, yes, if you have any questions about work experience, because it can be a big process to get your head around, please do reach out and contact the school and ask to speak to me. And I will say, too, that just some work experience placements will require the student to have their white card. So any kind of job or any placement that involves work with large machinery, you know, dangerous, heavy equipment, the students will have to sit the white card course prior to going out. Our white card course runs at the school multiple times a year. In actual fact, we had our first white card course of the year this week. It was incredibly successful.
Everyone passed?
Everybody passed, yes. We had 20 students sit the course, so the maximum number of students, and it was a fantastic day. We have great facilitators who come into the school and deliver the course here, and we deliver it, you know, at a lower price than if it was done externally. I'll add that one too. So the white card course can be done by anybody who, again, is 14 years old and who thinks that they might need it for the future to go on site perhaps, or even if they were working, you know, backstage in television. So in the entertainment industry, it's often needed as well. So students who would like to get their white card just need to come and see me in person. We'll have a little chat about whether or not it's appropriate for them, and then I'll put their name on my list and let them know when they've been put onto a course.
Okay, that sounds great. So thank you very much, Miss, for coming on to the podcast. And no doubt throughout the year we'll have you on for some updates and some new fantastic opportunities for our lucky students. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, welcome back everybody to episode 2 of Tumby Talks. And we are very, very honoured to have three special guests here today. So we've got Miss Ward, the head teacher of English. We've got Miss Wilkinson, who is our librarian. And we've got River, who is going to be talking about Writer's Toolbox. So welcome, everybody.
Thank you for having us, Ross.
Yeah, not a, okay then. So Miss Ward, tell us about your role at Tumbiumbi Campus.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Johnson. So I'm head teacher English at Tumbiumbi Campus. I started in 2022. I don't just do English, though. I focus on literacy as well as promoting literacy, teaching teachers literacy strategies to use in their classrooms, and making literacy everybody's business.
Now, literacy is everybody's business, but why does English matter? And what do students get out of English as a subject?
Well, I will start by acknowledging that English is a pretty hard subject. And I know a lot of students will say that they maybe don't enjoy it or they don't see the relevance. But for me, and I didn't like English when I was at high school.
No, me neither.
For me, I think English really empowers people to become better communicators. I try to get students to see that through English, it's like holding a mirror up to society and helping us to make sense of the world that we live in, and empowering them to make decisions and communicate what they want and how they feel to make them better people. I don't think there's anyone that can't name a text that they enjoy, whether it's a song, a podcast, a book, a movie, TV show. And that's what we're all about, empowering students in communicating, understanding the world better through exposing them to quality texts.
Excellent. And I know that in my classes, I've had a few of my older students say, you know, why do we have to pick English in year 11 and 12? And, you know, why I know how to speak or I know how to write and that sort of thing. And it's like, well, it's not just about that. And it's got a deeper relevance to your functional member, being a functional member of society.
Yep. And I say to students all the time that there's a reason why it is compulsory all the way through, because every year we build on, you know, those basic concepts with the hopes that we're sending students out into the world to be functioning members of society, be able to communicate. At the end of the day, people want to be understood and they want to be heard. Mm-hmm. And that's what English is. It's about teaching them how to do that appropriately, but also using quality text to, you know, model for them, you know, different scenarios, how people respond to different scenarios, but also how different characters and people in text communicate their thoughts and ideas.
And the how you spoke there about quality text, does that same thing can actually happen in my subject as well for computing technologies. Without quality text, kids can't write a proper prompt in an AI generator.
Yep.
So they won't be able, and what they get back will not be what they expect in their brain.
Yep. So being able to communicate clearly, concisely, effectively is really our aim in English.
English is life.
Yes.
Hashtag.
English is love.
What are some of the things that you and your team have to offer here at Tumbiambi Campus?
So writing is a top priority. It's a top priority for the whole Department of Education. And when I started here, my aim was to really focus on literacy, moving away from, I guess, conceptual ideas until we can get the basics of literacy and writing. One of the programs that I'm most proud of at Tumbi is the Writer's Toolbox, which was implemented in 2023. It takes students through the foundations of literacy, how to write effectively, parts of speech, how to construct sentences, paragraphs and whatnot, different styles of writing for different purposes. So it's used across every KLA because every KLA expects different writing styles. And we've also implemented a wide reading program, and I know that Mrs. Wilkinson is going to talk about reading at Tumbi later on, but those two things do kind of go hand in hand. We're also looking at submitting some student writing for a writing competition later on in the year.
That sounds amazing. How does the Writer's Toolbox program run, and how often do our students get to use that program?
So the program runs for Year 7 and 8 students, all Year 7 and 8 students, as well as our TSC students. The reason why we focused on Year 7 and 8 is to provide students with the foundation that they need for writing and literacy when they first get to high school. All Year 7 students have a timetabled literacy lesson that I run, and it focuses on using the Writer's Toolbox but also the foundations for writing and literacy, so verbs, adjectives, whatnot. And these are intensive literacy lessons which are aimed to kind of supplement what the students are already doing in English but across every KLA. The Year 8 students complete their Writer's Toolbox lessons and literacy lessons with their English teacher once a fortnight. Of course, teachers can do more. We also, and I'm going to say the dreaded H word here, we also encourage Writer's Toolbox as homework for Year 7. Gasp! For Year 7 and 8 students, we recommend that they do their daily writing challenge at least twice a week. It just gives them a chance to practice, and I always say to them, I am not an athlete, but I do know that without training, you're not going to get good at anything. So you've got to train yourself to write. And I'm sure that students listening to this are probably like, oh, we've heard her say this a million times. We train. And that's what the Writer's Toolbox sessions are. And that's why we recommend it for homework. You're not going to get good at writing unless you are writing, essentially. Mm-hmm.
So what does the program have to offer, and what does the students get out of it?
So I've already said the daily challenge, but on top of that, they can learn basic parts of speech and grammar. They can learn how to structure paragraphs and extended responses, depending on the KLA that they're working with. We focus on sentence styles to start with. If they can't write a sentence, they can't write a paragraph. If they can't write a paragraph, they can't write an extended response. So we really go all the way back to basics. And then there's also the learning journey, which we could also have students do for homework. It takes them through little activities that teaches them the parts of writing, parts of speech, and then little activities to, help them revise and develop their skills in those areas. The best feature of the program is the immediate feedback that is provided. So if students do a piece of writing, all they need to do is click on the feedback button and it gives them feedback on what they've done. It will give them a writing percentage score. It will also give them areas within their piece of writing that they can work on developing. Highlight it. This is what they need to do to fix it up.
And that feedback loop that that promotes, that it would be one of the most powerful parts of this, wouldn't it?
Yes. We encourage students, even if it's not an English essay or an English piece of writing, whatever they are writing, they can run through the writer's toolbox and get immediate feedback. We know that teachers are time poor and students want feedback on their work. This is kind of like a first step, like what's missing? Give them the opportunity to go in and fix it up, and then their teacher can jump in and also support.
And that brings us to our student guest today, River.
Drum roll.
Hello.
Welcome, River.
Thank you.
So can you tell us about your experience using the Writer's Toolbox program?
Well, it started off pretty bad. Like, I didn't really like, I've never liked English and I've never been really good at it. But Writer's Toolbox has helped me with not just English, but lots of subjects like Hizzy and that. Mm-hmm. Just putting it through it, like Miss Wood said, just running it through it and stuff like that. It's also gave me great feedback on it. I started off at like 42% at the end of term three last year, and I got up to over in the 90s this last year.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, in the high 90s.
Okay. So can you see yourself using it in most subjects that you have to do text with?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've used it in Hizzy to run it through it a couple of times.
Yeah. Do you think that now, after using Writer's Toolbox and you seeing that your feedback is now, your score has gone from 42 to 90, which is essentially double.
Yeah.
Can you see the absolute benefits of the program?
Yeah, I definitely can.
Yeah.
I did have River come in. He walked past when I was running it with one of my Year 7 classes, and I did make him come in and talk about the
special
program.
Guest star.
Yes, River's a special guest star in a lot of my lessons, really.
I'm in trouble for that.
Yeah. I'll also just say, when River first started here, the information that we got about him was, does not like English.
Not great.
But River has always done really well. In like, he always does try, and he should be praised for that. Makes me happy.
Well done, River.
Thank you.
Is there anything else, Miss Ward, that you would like to talk to us that is happening in English?
So I couldn't miss the opportunity to bring up the fact that we are nearly finished implementing our new syllabus. So K through to 10 has new English syllabus running. We are implementing year 10 this year, and that's the last year group that we're doing. It's been really awesome to be able to make changes. And one of the things that I heard when I got to Tumby from my team, who are amazing, was that we need something new. We need to reinvent. It's getting a bit stale. So it's been a really great opportunity to kind of throw everything out and start from scratch. It's given us an opportunity to put our stamp on things, make it relevant to Tumby and Tumby students. My faculty have always entertained my crazy ideas, which I'm very grateful for, and I'll take the opportunity to publicly thank them right now. So yeah, new text, new units, new concepts, new ideas. It's going really, really well. And now that we've got our new units sorted, I am in the planning phase of implementing a English elective for 2026.
New elective.
Yep, I've got the go-ahead from Mr. Johnson and Miss Bates. So yeah, stay tuned. Hopefully we get some kids picking that up, because English is really cool.
Yep. I can see River nodding along there. Nod, River.
No.
And, of course, we all know that reading is very, very important. And an important part of our reading at Tumbiumba campus is the Eye Centre. So over to you, Miss.
Thanks for having me, Mr. Johnson. We've got lots of great things happening at the Eye Centre in 2025. To really promote reading at Tumby, we've started the Tumby Reading Challenge. So to be involved with that, you need to borrow and read 8 books from our library, and we have a lot of really good titles, a lot of quality literature, so come and check that out. And even if there's other books that you would like to read that we don't have, let us know and we're happy to purchase new titles, but we've got lots of new books coming as well that we have ordered. And then at the end of probably term 3, maybe beginning of term 4, we'll have a big pizza party for everyone that participated, canteen voucher prizes, and you can come in any recess or lunch to come and borrow books to, you know, read for the challenge. Miss Ward mentioned the Year 7 reading program, so books that the Year 7s are reading for that can be used as part of the challenge. And we run the Premier's Reading Challenge every year as well. So any books that you even read for the Premier's Reading Challenge from our library, you can use for both challenges. So lots of opportunities for reading and celebrating reading at the Tumby Library.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Miss.
No worries.
And we love to showcase fantastic events and programs that we have here at Tumbiambi Campus. And I'd like to thank you all for coming on and sharing your experiences today.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, that's all for us today for episode 2 of Tumby Talks. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. And if you could do us a big favour by liking this episode and subscribing to our podcast anywhere that you can receive your podcasts, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts, that would be fantastic. A big thanks to everyone who's already done that. And we will see you soon for episode 3 of Tumby Talks.